Amen. Let's honor His house with worship. Could you lift up your hearts and hands one more time? This is between you and the Lord. It's not what our neighbor's doing right now, but let's honor His house with worship. Let's exalt Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise You. We worship You. We honor You, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we honor You. We honor the Son. We honor the Father. Hallelujah. We honor You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Minister by Your Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 4 this morning. Again, good to have each one in our service. Don't forget our pre-service prayer meeting this evening. And we're going to have service tonight. And just believe the Lord to do something in our hearts. We've got quite the list of things that are happening this week. The new calendars are out for the month of June. And so I just want to encourage you to get a bulletin, get a calendar, and you can stay abreast of the things that are happening. We opened our Sidewalk Sunday School Wednesday night. I'm thankful for those of the church that were here to support that, and just our outreach for the summer and some other things that we got in the works. And you've heard me say this many times, but I want to say it one more time. The moment as a church we stop reaching out for the lost, we have just ceased to be the church. We've become something else, something different. The church's task is to reach the lost. Aren't you glad the church reached you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 4. Now, we're in this series about salvation from the epistle to the Romans. But let me tell you the underlying theme that keeps coming to me. The back of everything that I say and preach to the church, I hear this message. I want you to get this across the building. This is what's behind everything. I don't say this every sermon. I don't mention it every sermon, but behind everything in this series is this to the church. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Folks grow cold when they don't keep believing. Folks find themselves in the same mess God brought them out of when they don't keep on believing. Folks get too discouraged to go on when they don't keep on believing. We know in whom we have believed. And I want to tell you something. We need not be ashamed of what we believe. Praise the Lord. Now, I did a favor last week. You just didn't know it. I left out one whole section because I didn't want to hold you. Isn't that kind of me? Oh, no, you don't think so. I should have left it in. So I want to address that today. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to begin reading in Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. Speaking of Abraham, justification by faith, he's the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he, being yet uncircumcised, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. We'll come back to this, but Brother Dearth, could we go ahead and go to verse 16? Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, it's of faith, that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of, and I want you to notice this phrase here, is of the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And back in verse 12, I want you to notice this phrase. Talking about the uncircumcision, who also, along with the circumcision, along with Abraham, who also walk in the steps of that faith. The steps of that faith. I want to preach this morning on the steps of faith. Walking in the steps of that faith of Abraham. The steps of faith. I pray the Holy Spirit would help us, and this would be an encouragement to all of us to keep on believing. We can walk in the steps of faith. We can follow Abraham's example, and we can have faith in a faithless, faith-sapping, faith-killing world. We can have faith. We can walk in the steps of that faith. We don't have to walk in doubt. We don't have to walk in unbelief. We don't have to walk in cynicism. We don't have to walk in discouragement. We don't have to walk in depression. We can walk in faith. I want to tell you something about Abraham walking in faith. The Bible said everywhere he put his foot, God gave it to him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we need to learn to walk in the steps of that faith. Father, help us today. Make your word a living thing in our hearts. Lord, you know every need represented by this congregation. And every struggle of heart and of mind and of soul and emotion. And I pray, Lord, that in the preaching of the word, that folks would hear the voice of the Lord for their need. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The steps of faith. In fact, what I'm going to be preaching about this morning is how to have faith in a faithless world. How many knows that it is a fact that our society, our country, and our world is becoming more faithless? You used to talk about faith-based things. It's gone. This year, the National Day of Prayer was taken away from our nation. Increasingly, we are living in a faithless society. And I'm not just talking about believing God for miracles. I'm talking about believing God and believing His Word and believing the truth and believing in judgment and believing in the inspired book. We're increasingly living in a faithless society. But I want to tell you something. Abraham lived in a faithless society. He came from Ur. There wasn't a church on every corner in Ur. There weren't Bible schools in Ur. There wasn't Christian radio stations in Ur. In fact, the city of Ur in Babylon was a city of pagans and the worship of fertility gods and child sacrifice and every kind of unimaginable evil. There were no crosses anywhere. Ur was a faithless society. But in the midst of a faithless society, even there was a man, Abraham, who believed God and had faith in a faithless society. And now Paul tells us we can walk in the steps of Abraham that believed God. I told you what Abraham didn't have. I know we have a faithless society, but look what we do have. We have a Bible. We have churches. We can come together and have the moving of the Holy Ghost. And the society may be faithless, but I'm telling you, we can have faith in the day we live in. You say, Pastor, you don't know my situation. Perhaps not, but I'm telling you, the record of the book is, whatever your situation, you can choose to believe God. You can walk in the steps of faith. Just come off that path of doubt and unbelief and discouragement and get on the path of faith and walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. Why should we be concerned about our faith, Pastor? Because our society is a society of extreme temptation. Never has temptation been as available, accommodated by the inundation of technology. Someone was telling me this week, they said, you know, I've read, and they was asking me if it's true, and it's true, that there is a plague of men in churches, a plague of men in churches addicted to internet pornography. It's true. We need faith because we have extreme temptations. I've often said you can't lust and believe at the same time. But I'm telling you, if you choose to believe, you won't be doing the other. And the only way out of that mess is to believe God. Amen. We live in a society not of just extreme temptation. We live in a time of extreme trial. Only those with their heads in the sand don't see what a dire situation our country and our world is in. We are going through trials, not only as a nation, but we could select families of our church that are involved in extreme trial. I'm telling you, extreme trial, amen, is not a time to give up. It's a time to keep on believing. Even extreme temptation will tell you that your faith is causing you to miss out on something. An extreme trial will tell you your faith isn't doing any good. It's not working. But I'm here to say you can have faith during extreme temptation, overcome it. You can have faith in extreme trial and overcome it. We can have the faith of Abraham. Verse 16 says the faith of Abraham. We can have it. It was just describing what Abraham had. It was telling us what we could have. Amen. I'm going to quote Mike Dirth. Years ago, he was talking to me. He must have just read through this. And he was saying, you know, reading about Abraham. He said, you know, we look at these Bible characters. I won't get his quote direct. Amen. But he said, you look at these Bible characters and you begin to think that they were some kind of superheroes. But he said, we know the age of Abraham. And he said, you know, Abraham didn't look like a superhero. If you saw Abraham, he would probably have been shrunken up and dried up to the point that you couldn't distinguish him from some older man in our nursing home. I mean, he was up in years when all this happened. Shrunken up and dry. He wouldn't look like a person of faith. I mean, he would look ordinary. He would look beyond his prime. He would have looked at like he was at the end of his life. Amen. But he had faith. Amen. It's not in what you see, the appearance of this outward shell. It's what's going on the inside. And I would just differ just a little bit with what Brother Durst said. I think it's true. You've seen Abraham. You couldn't tell him from some dried up older person in the nursing home until you looked at his eyes. And I think if you looked at his eyes, you would have seen life and vibrancy and light. Why? Because he had faith on the inside. I'm telling you, faith made a dead man come alive. It took someone at the end of his prime and gave him the promise after promise. I'm telling you what we need the faith of Abraham. Look right, look left. We don't look like superheroes. Most of us don't. I know I don't. But I'm telling you, there's no reason that a one of us cannot have the faith of Abraham and get through whatever we need to get through and get on and get beyond and get over and get home. Hallelujah. The faith of Abraham. I think most Christians are disturbed about the weakness of their faith. Let me just do a little poll here. How many would truly like to have more faith, to believe God more completely? Hallelujah. I believe our text is going to help us. In verse 12 here, look. It said, those who walk in the steps of that faith. I'm going to do everything I can not to bore you, but I think this is important stuff. I want to tell you something. We've missed it as a church world. We've made faith a matter of talk. Faith is not a matter of talk. Faith is a matter of walk. Walk in the steps of that faith. Faith has become a thing. You get the formula right. You say the right thing. You say it with the posture of authority. You say it with the right pitch of voice. You talk it. I'm telling you, faith is not in the talk. It's in the walk. Let me tell you something else. If you have to go around talking about how much faith you got, you ain't got any. Amen. Faith is in the walk. Walk in the steps. A walk means a day by day practice one foot in front of the other. Amen. Sometimes I know I fail miserably, but I like to try to encourage folks. And I told someone just recently, in your situation, the only thing you can do is put one foot in front of the other. Keep on polite. But you got to understand something. You may not feel it. It may be hard to do. But every time you pick a foot up and put it back down in the direction of heaven, you've just exercise. Oh, it's hard. You're weak. Amen. You're depleted. It's the hardest thing you can do to keep on going, but you're walking. And every time you lift a foot and put it back down, every time you attend another church service, every time you open the book again and read another chapter, hallelujah, you're walking in the steps of that faith. Hallelujah. Keep on believing. Keep on walking. And then in this verse, I want you to notice the word steps. We live in a time that every preacher wants to give you 10 things to do in this order. But steps here doesn't mean do this and then do that and then next do this and next do that. That's not what steps means. Steps means get in step with. Get in step with. Get in step with what? God's program. God's promise. What God wants to do. To be in the steps of means to follow the path of. To walk in the path. To follow the example. Have you ever heard someone say either good or bad, he's following in the footsteps of his dad? Have you heard that? That's what it means here. Not do this thing and then do that thing. But it means follow in the path of, follow the example of, walk in the way of Abraham. That's what we're going to get to. I took a little time to introduce it. Romans 4:1 says, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. What did Abraham discover? What did he find out about God? Abraham discovered that God does things in response to faith. God moves in response to faith. Oh, I'm excited. We can have the faith of Abraham. We can walk in the steps of that faith, and we're going to discover just what Abraham discovered, that God does things in response to faith. Oh, keep on believing. How can we have this faith? We talked about having it last week for imputation, but we can have faith for a lot more things other than just salvation. I marvel sometimes. I think it interesting how we're able to believe God for our eternal salvation. We're able to believe God for the forgiveness of our sins, and yet we fail to believe Him in the problems, in the crises, and the troubles, and the sicknesses of everyday life. I'm telling you, if you could believe God for imputation, if you could believe God for salvation, if you could believe God for justification, I'm telling you, we can believe Him for a whole lot of other things. Believe Him this morning, whatever your need. Hallelujah. How did Abraham believe? What kind of decisions did he make? What does faith look like? I'm going to go through this quickly, but here we are. Here's how we can walk in the steps of Abraham. Number one, Abraham made a decision and he acted. Again, faith isn't a high-pitched squeal. In the name of Jesus, I'm not making fun, I'm just making a point. Faith is making a decision and acting. Jesus told the man blind from his birth, go wash in the pool of Siloam. What was faith? And he went and washed. He made a decision and acted. Romans 4:17 says, of Abraham before him whom he believed. Anyone that has even rudimentary knowledge of grammar knows that's a verb. That's an action verb. Abraham believed. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Amen. Did you see it there? By faith, when Abraham heard the call to go out, by faith, he did what? He obeyed and he went out. He made a decision and he acted. I'm here to preach. It may not be popular, but I believe it's the Word of God. Faith is not a force. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a formula, but faith is a decision of the heart and mind that it's going to believe God and do His will. Hallelujah. Whatever the case, we're waiting for faith. We're waiting on a feeling. We're waiting on faith. We're waiting to get the right formula. But I'm telling you, faith is hearing the Word of God and making up your heart's mind that I'm going to do it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to walk it. I'm telling you, that's what Abraham, he heard the call, come out of Ur, and he said, I'm going to do it. He made a decision and he did it. He left Ur. I'm talking about the steps of faith. Even I want to encourage you, whatever your situation, look at faith this way. I will do the will and the Word of God. If you'll do that, you'll have faith. I like that song that I choose to believe. In fact, I would say that one has only believed when they have chosen, and one has only chosen when they have acted on what God has said. Faith is an action. Too often we look at faith as a feeling. But the trouble with that is just so often I don't feel anything. How many felt particularly spiritual this morning? We won't make fun of you. Go ahead, lift your hand. How many felt particularly full of faith this morning? But faith isn't a feeling. It's a commitment. I've heard the will of God, and I'm going to do it. I know what the book says. That is faith. He acted on the promise. God said, go out. And he said, Abraham, see the stars of the sky? See the number of grains in the seashore? Abraham, I'm going to give you descendants that's beyond that number. You're going to be the father of many nations, and I'm going to give you a land for your seed to live in. Abraham, oh, that sounds great. Wait a minute, God. I don't even have kids. God said, you go out of Ur, and I will give you kids that are more in number than the stars and the sand. And he didn't have any kids. Didn't have any, but he went out. He obeyed God. Amen. Did you know, we look at that, we hear that in summary, we don't think much of it. Did you know Abraham traveled 500 miles by foot across desert? It's 500 miles by caravan route from Ur to the Jerusalem, Bethel area. I mean, he believed to the point he pulled up stakes. They didn't have a train, plane, or vehicle, car. It was camel. And he believed God that when God gave him the promise, he left everything that he knew, loaded up his wife and his nephew and servants, and they took off 500 miles across it. Because God said, if you'll go, I'll bless you. You know, God's told us he'll bless us, but some folks won't go 2 miles to church when God has promised he'll bless them. I'm not talking about ranked sinners. I'm talking about people who claim to be the children of God. That's not walking in faith. Faith is believing his book. He said if we'll come together, he'll be in the midst. He said if we'll come together, we'll be edified and strengthened. I'm telling you, it's just time we believe the book. Abraham believed. He acted on what he believed. And notice what he believed in verse 17 here. Look at the very end of the verse. It says he believed in God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those sayings which be not as though they were. Amen. He knew he didn't have a child. He knew he and his wife were beyond the years of childbearing. But he believed that God could call something into existence out of nothing. He believed God could make something out of nothing. He believed God could call those things which are not as though they were. Oh, he had reason to believe that. From the very beginning, God stepped out on nothing and he said, let there be
light, and there was light. He called something that was not in existence, He called it into existence. Abraham said, but I'm not a father. And God said, I said you're going to be one, and I can cause something to happen by speaking my word. If I say you're going to be one, you're going to be one. Aren't you glad God can say something is already done that is yet in the future? Because what He promises, He will do. Hallelujah. God called Abraham the father of many nations. Amen. Why could He do that? How could He do that? Because God speaks things that will be as if they have already happened. It's not yet happened, but God speaks as if it's already happened, because it will happen. He called Abraham a father because Abraham was going to be a father. I believe we'd have faith. He would look at some of the wretched people in our lives that are hopelessly lost as far as we are concerned, and God would say, they're a saint. How can God say that? Because He can save them. He can change them. He can turn their life around. If God can speak light out of nothing, God can make something, hallelujah, from nothing. I remember as a kid, our pastor's wife was teaching us that song. It just came out. Late 60s, Something Beautiful, Something Good. I can remember singing, God can make something beautiful, something good out of my life. If He can make the old man Abraham past the biological hope, make him the father of many nations, look what God can do in our lives if we'll believe Him. Amen. There's only one condition. That's we believe God. I might have told you before we move quickly on. Boudin, he was the great tightrope walker. One time he stretched a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. Crowds on both sides. He walked across that tightrope across the Niagara Falls. And then he walked back. And then he had an assistant bring a wheelbarrow to him. And he said to the crowd, he said, what do you think? Of course, they were still applauding. They were excited. He said, do you think I could put somebody in the wheelbarrow and roll them across the tightrope across Niagara Falls? How many believes I could do that? He said, everybody lifted up their hands. I believe that. And he looked at one man. He said, now, do you really believe I can do that? Man said, oh, yeah, I believe you can do it. Boudin said, okay, hop in. Faith is hopping in. Hallelujah. Faith isn't acting on presumption. Faith isn't acting on yourself, propagated dreams, or on somebody else's word. Faith is believing the word of God and doing it. Believe if you repent, He will give you new life. Amen. Secondly, the steps of faith. Abraham chose to hope when all looked so hopeless. Look at verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In other words, against hope means that in the natural scheme of things, Abraham had no reason. There was nothing Abraham could look at that would give him cause to have hope he would be a father. Amen. It was against hope that he had hope. The only thing Abraham had to go on, if he had a list of physical reasons he could have a child, there'd be nothing in the list. The only thing he had to go on is God had promised that he would have a child, that he would be the father of many nations. So against hope, no natural reason to hope, he believed in hope. What did he believe in that gave him hope? He believed in the promise of God. I just think it'd be good if we'd get back to the promises of God. How many know it's forever settled in heaven? Yea and amen. Amen. It's settled. God has spoken it, and He's not a man that He should lie. And amen. Every physical reason was that he could not be a father. Biology and experience and conventional wisdom and reality said it was too late for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. When Abraham first received the promise, he was 75 years old. Amen. Just think about that. I remember at 39 when I found out I was having a child. It blew me out of the water. We were in revival, and the news preceded it. And the Brims were here, and I was going to ask them to sing. And so I went and asked her to sing. She said, sure, I'll sing. I'm going to sing Father Abraham. 75 years old, told he was, but he, that's not really the remarkable. The remarkable thing is he lived for 25 years without having received the promise. And it gets worse. God said, I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham, and Abraham means father of many nations. And so here Abraham's traveling new territory as he goes to the promised land. Hi, stranger, what's your name? Abraham, father, that's Abraham. That what they heard was, Father, my name is Father of many nations. Oh yeah, how many children you have? 25 years. But Brother Dale, against hope, he believed in hope. What was the believing in hope? The believing in hope was believing in the promise that gave him the hope. I tell you why a lot of you are please listen. Why a lot of folks are stagnant right in the church. Why they're finding the world attractive is they're stalled out. They quit believing in the promises of God and hoping that God will do in their life what He said He would do. It's miserable to live without hope. Abraham was 100 years old when he finally had his son. At his time, most were great-great-great-grandparents at that age. But I'm telling you something about the promises of God. He waited 25 years. I'm trying to make a point. That's the only reason I'm telling you. He waited 25 years to have a first son when he was 100. But I'm telling you, claiming the promise of God, he went forward from there. Because most people don't read close enough to realize that after Isaac was grown and Sarah was dead, Abraham married again and had another family. How many knows that? I'm telling you, he just kept on believing God. When folks said, all hope's gone, God said, I'll show you. I'll not only give you the promise, son, I'll give you a new another family beyond that. What are you trying to say? To hope is to refuse to give up on the promise of God when everything else says you should give up. I said to hope is to refuse to give up on the promise of God when everything says you should give up. You'll say, my case is too bad. I'm too far gone. Things have gone on too long this way, too far. But I'm telling you, with God, you can hope when all things look hopeless. Next, the steps of faith. Abraham refused to focus on the reason it could not be. He refused to focus. He had a decision. He's not dumb. He knew his age. He knew the biology. He knew science of the time. He knew what the score was. But it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. In other words, he knew his body in that dimension was dead. He didn't consider it. And when he was about 100 years old, he didn't consider his age. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. I'm being discreet here. I don't need to tell folks anything more than that. But the whole thing is Abraham's not dumb. He knows that his wife is beyond the years of childbearing. But so he has a decision to make. On this hand, he has the promise of God. He's going to be the father of many nations. On this hand, he's got the fact he's 100 years old. He's got the fact his body in that dimension is dead. He's got the fact that his wife is beyond childbearing. So what did he do? The Bible said he refused to look at all the things against it, and he looked at the one thing for it, and the one thing for it was God said it was going to happen. Oh, I'm telling you, you can look at all the things against your victory. You can look at all the causes and things against God doing in your life what he said he wants to do. You can look at all the reasons why you can't serve God, and you might be able to make a long list, but at some point you need to have faith and quit focusing on the reasons against it and start focusing on the reason for it. And the reason for it is God has never failed to keep his word. He said it, he'll do it. Faithful is he that promised, who will also do. Quit looking at this list. Focus on the promise of God. Bible said he was being not weak in faith. You know why something grows weak? I know there's other reasons, but I'm talking about body. Something grows weak because it's not used. It's not exercised. You know why people grow weak in faith? They quit exercising their faith. Amen. I think of Brother Brock. Talked to him this week. And of course, you know he can't walk without the aid. But from the very start, Sister Brock, he'd lie in that bed and he'd exercise to keep the strength in his limbs. Isn't that right? Every day. Bad situation, but he kept exercising. And that will profit him in his body. But I'm telling you, take that as an example. Bad situation in your life. Don't stop exercising your faith. You'll grow weak in faith. Keep on believing. Brother, is it coming through, brother? Keep on believing. I am not a calamity, Howard, but every indication is things are going to get a whole lot worse. What's our response as a church? Find some acreage out at Montana and all of us move out there on the Greyhound bus. And is that the response? Is the response to get discouraged and pull the blanket over our head and weep and cry? Is our response to give glory to Satan because he's so powerful and wrecking so much havoc? No, I'll tell you what the response is. Let's be the church. Let's believe God. I'll tell you one thing. The church that goes into heaven is not a beat down, depressed, toothless, beat up, bruised church. The church that makes it into heaven through the end times is a glorious church with Christ its captain, who is believing God every step of faith along the way. Hallelujah. Don't focus on the listener. And then the steps of faith. He did not allow himself to vacillate. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Stagger means to divide. It means to waver. In other words, with Abraham, there was no back and forth. I can't have a kid. Well, God said I could. I can't have a kid. Well, God said I. With Abraham, there was no back and forth. When he made up his mind to believe, he left that behind him and he kept on this way. No vacillation. When one walks back and forth, he is indecisive. In fact, that is one symbol, body language, if you please, of indecision. You see somebody walking back and forth, they're either worried or indecisive or both. I hope you never see this, but sometimes I get between the parsonage and the church trying to figure out what I want to do next. Do I want to go over here and do this, or do I need to stay here and do this? And if you'll see me out there in the drive, I'm a walking back and forth. I'm not crazy. Hey man, I shouldn't have told you that. You're going to think I am. It was just an illustration. Don't commit me yet. He may be walking back and forth. Amen. Why? Indecision. I'm telling you, you see somebody that's in and out of church, up and down spiritually. One day they're wanting holiness in their life, and the next day they want to live as close to the world as they can. Amen. That type of indecision. Amen. You're seeing someone that has not yet made up their mind. They're going to believe God. I'm telling you, when you make up the decision to believe God, there won't be the vacillation. There won't be the up and down and in and out. There'll be the straightforward progression and walk of faith, never turning back, never looking back, never going back. Amen. Don't vacillate. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I've heard people tell me, I'm going to believe God. I believe God will see me through this. I'm going to do right. And a week later, they're saying, it's not going to work out. It'll never happen. I can't make it. Quit vacillating. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't do anything rash. Keep on believing God. Walk in the steps of those faith. Just quit the vacillation. Brother Branham said it for a lot of different reasons. But I can still see Brother Branham sitting there in his chair with his fan and talking to the people. Brother Keith, he'd say, just hold steady, folks. Just hold steady. I know there's things hitting and bombarding and come again, but don't let those things cause you to vacillate. Oh, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the despising the shame, and to sit down there. Oh, let us run on. Let us walk on in the steps of faith. God will see us through. Quit the vacillation. Two more quick things. Abraham in the steps of faith kept affirming the greatness of God. Look at the last part of the verse. It says, giving glory to God. I'm telling you, this is why it is so important to praise God no matter how hard your difficulties get. How many verses in the 70 it says, praise the Lord, the song, praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind us drop powerless behind us when we praise the Lord. Abraham would give glory to God. Why was he giving glory to God? Not to convince God, not to convince himself, not to psych himself up, not as a distraction from the reality. He was just acknowledging that he could depend upon God because God was great and never failing. But you, the real way that Abraham gave glory to God was that he believed the promise of God. People could tell that Abraham didn't have kids, and yet when they saw Abraham continue to believe God, that gave glory to God, because they said, the people said, the skeptics said, there must be something to that God if that man Abraham will believe him through all this. So I want you to hear me. God's people being in difficult times does not give glory to God. Let me say that again. God's people being in difficult times does not give glory to God. But God's people being in difficult times and continuing to believe God, that brings glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you are in tough times. I'm not going to enumerate it. You know it. But I want you to know, God didn't get glory just out of your being in a tough time. But when you're in a tough time and you still lift your hands up and say, I love the Lord, I praise Him, I believe Him, I worship Him, that brings glory to God. And the sinner man and the backslider has to confess, there's something to that, that a person in that situation and having that kind of trouble would yet lift his hands and praise the Lord. Amen. Job sitting there scraping sores, everything he loved taken from him, every possession, said, I will not curse God. I'll continue to believe Him, and in my flesh, I'm going to see Him. Hallelujah. Keep on believing. And last of all, the steps of faith. Abraham allowed himself to be convinced by God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that that which he had promised, he was able also to perform. We need to be persuaded. You know, to be persuaded, yes, it means you make a decision, but it means there's been something at work on you for you to make that decision. I believe God works on folks, but we have to allow ourselves to be convinced. I have seen messages go out, not just sermons, but messages go out in this church that was a direct encouragement to somebody. God was trying to convince them and persuade them that He was going to help them, but they chose not to be persuaded. We need to be persuaded that that which He promised, He's able also to perform. How do we allow ourselves not to be persuaded? Someone will tell us how big God is. We'll say, yes, but. Right? Yeah, God's big, but you don't know my problem. Even God will come by and say, look, I'm going to do this, and this is the way it's going to turn out. And you'll say, I know, but what about? Amen. Someone will preach a message and take the truth of God's word and say, this is the way it is with God. And you'll say, true. But how does that apply? I'm telling you, to be persuaded is to forget the but and the why and the if and the when and just take the true part. I know part. Amen. Allow yourself to be convinced. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed. Abraham was sure. He was certain. He was persuaded. He was persuaded that God would give him a son. And when he had the son, he was persuaded that if he sacrificed that son, as God said, God would raise him from the... Don't you want to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham? Hallelujah. May I get more response for that? Don't you want me to quit right now? Hallelujah. I'm this close to being done. Let me tell you this. One time a math teacher gave the students this very hard math problem, and she said, I want you to know you can do this. You can do this. She said, this is a workable problem. And the first young boy, he worked hard. He worked for about 30 minutes and threw down his pen and said, I just can't do it. A second boy, he worked even longer. He worked an hour and a half. And he said, I believe I can do it because teacher said, and I've heard that others have worked this problem. But after an hour and a half, he threw down his pencil. The other guy, he worked 3 hours for. Finally, he worked out the problem. He said, I knew I could do it because the master, the teacher, said I could do it. You see this difference? Some folks, they say, well, I can do it, but they're not going on anything. And pretty soon it gets hard and they quit. Others last a little longer. They'll say, I can serve God because I've seen so-and-so serve God for 50 years. And they last a little longer. But there are some that never give up and never quit until it gets done. Because they said, I know I can do it because He said I could. Would you come, music? Amen. How many believes we have the same God as Abraham? How many believe we've got the same promises as Abraham? We got a track record that God does not fail. Hallelujah. D.L. Moody said one time that most Christians have one or three types of faith. He said some Christians live with struggling faith. He said that's like the man that's in the lake and he's still struggling. He's still barely staying above water, but it's a fight and he's about to go down anytime. He said some people live with that kind of faith, struggling faith. I mean, they're still batting it. They're still praying a little bit, reading, but they're just barely staying afloat. He said other folks got clinging faith. I mean, they're holding on to the truths of God, but they never really expect victory. They just think, well, at least I'm not going under, and they'll cling to the promise. He said that's like the guy clinging to the side of the boat. Amen. He's not in the boat. He's still got the wet, the storm against him, but he's still clinging on, just barely surviving. But he said there's a third type of faith, and it's resting faith. And he said that's the guy that allows himself to be pulled out of the water and put in the boat. He said he's resting in faith. I'm telling you, I believe God wants us to have not just struggling faith and not just clinging faith. Well, things are bad and I'm unhappy, but I'm just going to hold on to the bitter end. No, not just clinging faith. I believe God wants us to have resting faith where we come inside His embrace, His promises, His truth, and say, I will trust the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Hallelujah. The tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light, but I'm never alarmed at the overcast sky, for Jesus walks close to my... I'm a living, I'm a walking, I'm following in the steps of the faith of they. In fact, I have the faith. That's what God wants us to say. Hallelujah. How many believes you can have the faith of Abraham? Walk in the steps. Oh, let's stand across the building. Amen. Let's thank God that He is believe worthy, that we can believe Him. Thank Him that He's trustworthy. Thank Him this morning. He'll never fail you. What He's spoken, He will do. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Keep on believing. Keep on believe. It'll get you through the trial. It'll get you through the temptation. It'll get you through the problem. You'll come out on the other side with victory. Victory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you desire an increase of faith in your life, if you're going to make that decision to believe God, whatever, and you want resting faith, amen, you want to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham, I want to invite you, church, to begin to come and pray with the disciples and say, oh, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to do those things. Help me to quit looking at all the negatives and look at the positive promises of God. Help me to quit considering that. Would you just come and begin to fill these altars and say, God, I want to believe You. I want to keep on believing. Come with your trial. Make that step of faith out of your pew. Make that step of faith out of your pew and say, I'm going to keep on believing God, trusting Him, looking to Him, believing in Him. Hallelujah. Keep on. Don't vacillate. Double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Hallelujah. Keep on.
And what you know is true.
Keep on believing. Oh, don't vacillate.
You know the Lord will.